Hi, everybody. I got a program note. Barring holidays, occasional family days, we're now every day. That's right. We used to be a weekly. Now we're a daily. We hold no punches, which is why we do it. We think we're necessary. Look for it. All right, here we go. Truth bomb number one. Boeing CEO out. So is their entire management team, it seems. We'll tell you why. Truth bomb number two. Baltimore's collapsed bridge is causing global supply chain issues, and we're going to talk a lot about infrastructure and supply chain issues. Truth bomb number three. You may know him as P. Diddy. Police are looking at him as they investigate a sex trafficking ring. I'm Rick Sanchez. This is Direct Impact. Okay, let's get started. There's a couple of things that have occurred of late that I can't help but make us all take notice and even ask, oh my goodness, what's going on? First, a plane door falls off mid-flight from a horribly now beleaguered airline manufacturer who's been caught red-handed putting profits way ahead of people by taking shortcuts in its manufacturing and inspection process. And now that CEO of that said company, he's out.
Boeing CEO Dave Calhoun has announced he will no longer be CEO of Boeing. He will end that role at the company at the end of this year, 2024.
He is just one of three top executives departing the company, including its board chair and head of commercial airplanes.
Yeah, that's CEO Dave Calhoun. He says that he's stepping down from Boeing as the military contractor that makes warplanes as well as passenger jets is reshaping its management. And then there's this. Boy, everybody's still talking about this thing. This is the video that has now been shared all over the world. It's the bridge as it's collapsing right there into the water after being struck by a cargo ship. Apparently going to have to... We're being told that because of this that you're seeing right there, it's going to have a severe impact on shipping along the East Coast. The remnants, in fact, of Baltimore's Francis Scott Key Bridge has cut off all ocean routes to the city's major port, and that is expected to cause severe disruptions to both transport and logistics, which experts are now saying is going to cause a ripple effect on global supply chains. It's just one more problem for America's infrastructure crisis, which seems to be growing by the day. And this is important, and this is why we want to talk about this. Because, in fact, according to the Council of Foreign Relations, U.S. infrastructure is dangerously overstretched and lagging behind many developed countries all over the world, especially, by the way, they point out China. The roads, the railways, the electrical grids, the internet providers, much of this stuff was built decades ago in this country, and it's struggling to keep pace. It's also having a severe financial burden on the country. There's a study done by a transportation analytics firm. It's called INRIX, if you want to look it up. They found delays caused by our nation's traffic congestion alone, much of it which was designed like right after World War II, costs our economy about $87 billion a day. $87 billion a day that we would have been able to generate if we had a system that was more updated. Why? Well, inadequately maintained roads, trains, waterways create costly delays and stoppages like what is happening right now in Baltimore, for example. And civil engineers are now warning that structurally deficient bridges all over the United States, antiquated water plants, and are posing serious safety risks. Not to mention the risk of catastrophic failures such as bridge collapses and dam breaches. And then there's this. I found this number kind of scary. 44,000 U.S. bridges right now that we drive over have been inspected and have been declared to be in poor condition. We have 44,000 very poor condition bridges in the United States. Hello? So if the U.S. is losing billions of dollars because of bad bridges and roads and dams and antiquated airports and the like, why not then spend billions of dollars to fix it, right? Am I crazy? Or is that the obvious answer? Well, the answer to why we don't do it is in these numbers, and I want you to take a look at them as I put them up. All right, take a look at how much money that is taken out of the pockets of taxpayers in the United States that doesn't go to fixing their bridges and their roads, et cetera, but instead it's sent to other countries. This is nowhere near a total list, by the way. It's just the basic numbers as released a year and a half ago. Since then, I understand they've continued to go up and up and up, and this doesn't include non-budgeted items like what's happening right now in Gaza. Ukraine, $74 billion. Put it back up. Let's look at it. Put it back up. There it is. Ukraine, $74 billion. Israel, $3.3 billion every single year without fail. Ethiopia, $2.2 billion. Did you know we were sending $2.2 billion to Ethiopia? I didn't know that. Afghanistan, $1.4 billion. And, of course, that's apart from the $2 trillion that's spent there during the 20-year war. $2 trillion. Yeah, that's what I said, in case you didn't hear it. By the way, same could be said about Iraq, same could be said about Yemen, Egypt, Jordan. All are guaranteed more than $1 billion a year, every single year of your tax dollars, as your bridges and your roads remain in disrepair. Am I the only one looking at this and thinking this looks crazy? By the way, don't be fooled when you look at this list by the word humanitarian in there, humanitarian aid. Compared to the amount that we spend on military needs in this country, that often goes to contractors, the money we give to countries for humanitarian assistance is much, much more. Or pardon me, much, much less. Here, let me give you an example of what I'm talking about. Just one military contractor, for example. Let's choose Lockheed Martin. One. In 2020, the U.S. government spent $75 billion on Lockheed contracts. You know how much we spent that year for international development worldwide? You know, humanitarian stuff? $44 billion. That means one company in the United States got more in 1 year, $75 billion, than the whole total of all the humanitarian aid that we give worldwide. I thought you'd want to know these things because they freaked me out when I looked at them and when I started doing the research. Joining me now is Misty Winston and Steve Gill, both radio hosts, political commentators who've joined us here in the past. I don't know, Misty. I'll let you give a first shot at this situation that I just explained. I couldn't stop thinking about this after watching that bridge collapse and wondering how many others we might see collapse in the next couple of years as we continue to send more and more money to places like Ukraine.
Yeah, it is. Those numbers, when you lay it all out like that, are incredibly terrifying, especially given the number of people who are driving over these bridges every single day. It is, I think we just kind of take it for granted at this point. I was watching an interview and somebody said, you know, it's not something I even consider. I trust that, you know, these roads and these bridges are going to be safe for us to travel on. Very clearly, they're not. And you're right. We're spending all of this money on other countries, sending money to other countries, when right here at home, we have significant issues. This is not a small problem. As you just laid out the numbers very clearly, we have so many bridges who are in disrepair, and we're going to continue to see things like this, things like East Palestine with the train derailment, over and over and over again until we address it.
Steve, how much of this is the politics? I mean, if I was a congressman or if I was a senator, a congresswoman, a mayor, you know, a governor of a state, I would be thinking, what can I do to make sure we have money that's appropriated toward the things that directly affect the people who live in my district, in my state? Do they not think that way?
Well, we pass these huge infrastructure bills about every 5 or 10 years. Do you remember when Obama took office and Joe Biden was put in charge of handling all that infrastructure money? Where's it gone? Our airports are in disrepair. Our bridges are in disrepair. Our roads are filled with potholes. I was just recently in Istanbul, Turkey. I was in Moscow, Russia. Their roads are far and above ours. And the international airports you see across the world make ours look like the you know, ridiculous 1950s versions. Why are third world countries able to generate the resources to build malls that are also airports?
Is it one or the other? Should it be one of the, in other words, okay, there's some people who think we have to send money to Ukraine. I think they're crazy, but let's suppose you think we need to spend money to Ukraine. If you send it to Ukraine, then you can't fix your bridges, or can you do both? And why not?
Well, since we're borrowing money to send it to people, many of whom hate us, we can't do both because we're borrowing money from the Chinese so that we can run up massive debts that we can then send to others around the world without taking care of our own here at home. And it's not just Ukraine. Again, you look at the investments, they call them, that we're doing around the world, yet not investing here at home. And I'll put one other in. Mm-hmm. Russia, among others, are playing big in South America and in Africa, building infrastructure there and building relationships there, while we ignore these other countries, other continents, at our own risk.
Yeah, but we do, Misty, we do spend money in many of those countries. I know historically, being a Hispanic, that, you know, my heritage is from Latin America, and we have done a lot of things in Latin America, but it's not infrastructure. More often than not, it has to do with CIA, covert operations, and these things are expensive, and military operations, like building military bases, like some of the stuff I've seen lately in Guatemala, for example, Misty.
Yeah, well, unfortunately, in this country, I think we've established an economy that revolves around death and destruction and chaos rather than building things, right? Mm. I think that that's really kind of the approach that we've taken. And to the point of your question of can we do both, very clearly not. And I think that, listen, I'm not some kind of an isolationist. I'm not opposed to helping people across the world when something catastrophic happens or, you know, anything like that. If there's an earthquake in Haiti, I'm all for, you know, lending aid and support. But when we have these kinds of issues taking place at home, I think that we need to address those first. We need to clean our own house first. It's kind of like when you're on an airplane and they tell you you need to put your own mask on first. I very much feel like that's where the United States is right now.
What do you make of this, Steve, situation in Baltimore, where apparently now the federal government is trying to do cleanup and this cleanup is getting very expensive? From what I'm reading, that port is closed, and because that bridge is sitting there, not to mention the vehicles that may have fallen in and some of the other debris, other ships now can't pass, and there's several ships that can't get out and ships that can't get in. This is one of the top five largest ports in the United States. They're talking about it having a very serious effect on the global supply chain. What do you make of that?
Well, and I don't trust anything we're hearing from the Biden administration or the government right now. The fact that they could declare it was an accident, there was no terrorism, it was an accident, before they even had all the cars at the bottom of the water. Hmm. It's kind of like they're constant, we're going to tell you what's happening before we even know what's happening. And Rick, like you, I'm a lawyer by background. Why are we not even talking about holding the cargo ship owner, the insurance company for the cargo ship owner, at least partially responsible for this? Why is Joe Biden writing a blank check? We're going to fix this. We're going to pay all of this. I think that you have a car wreck, you expect the person who caused the car wreck to at least pony up some of the cash to do the repairs.
Well, I will say, I mean, judging from the videos that I've seen, it looked like that poor guy, this captain, lost control of his ship. I don't know why he lost control of his ship. He lost control of his ship. You see the lights go out, which means suddenly his engines had failed. Then you see more smoke coming out, which means he's pressing the engine, which apparently is failing again. And as you're watching this thing just before it happened, it does appear. I'm not saying there may not have been some foul play involved, but it definitely looks like that ship was uncontrollable or not under control at the time that it hit that bridge. Misty, what do you make of this?
This is a ship that's had problems before, Rick. Keep in mind, this is a ship that's hit other bridges. This is a ship that's had electronics problems. Other countries have said, we don't want you coming to our port with this ship. Why didn't we do the same thing?
No, it's a fair question. Misty, to you.
Well, and we also just recently learned that the company that chartered that cargo ship was recently hit by sanctions by regulators for blocking employees for blowing the whistle on unsafe working conditions. So, and again, this is something we see time and time again. We saw a very similar situation with Norfolk Southern in the East Palestine, Ohio train derailment. There is this legacy of behavior here, this kind of policy, it seems, with these large companies where they will do anything and everything to avoid accountability, to avoid regulations, to avoid providing safe working conditions. And I think that that's we're going to continue to see that because essentially these corporations regulate themselves. They're able to just pay off politicians and rig the system in their favor. And this is the result of what we're seeing there.
What does it take for Americans? And we're going to talk about this on the other side of the break. What does it take for people like us, you know, people who have a good faith belief in our system, to finally try to understand what we need to do to get our government to start spending more time on us and not on some of the other places where they are spending it? Or is it even possible for that to happen? That's what we're going to be talking about right here. Stay with us. We're going to be coming back with both of our guests as we continue this discussion regarding what we're now learning is the very sad condition of our U.S. infrastructure. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
I look forward to talking to you all.
That technology should work for people.
A robot must obey the orders given it by human beings, except where such orders would conflict with the first law.
Show your identification.
We should be very careful about artificial intelligence.
The point, obviously, is to create trust rather than fear.
I would like to take on various jobs.
I mean, with artificial intelligence, we are summoning the demon.
A robot must protect its own existence as own existence.
What is Bharat? Is it a travel ad? Is it a Bollywood poster? Is it the deepest yoga center in the world? Or is it something deeper, more complex, multifaceted? Let's talk without cliches. Let's talk Bharat.
Welcome back. I'm Rick Sanchez. Here's the question that I'm thinking as we're having this conversation, Steve, Misty, if the American people were told individually, let's suppose I just came up to you, Steve, on the street, and I said, Steve, reach into your pocket and give me 30% of all the money you have today. And then I came back tomorrow and I said, Steve, reach into your pocket and give me 30% of all the money you have. And then I came back the next day and said, Steve or Misty, reach into your purse or your pocket and give me all the 30% of all the money. And I did this every single day for a year, for years, for years, for decades, in fact, which seems to be what we are doing right now to the American people. And essentially said, I need that money because I want to send it to whatever, company, country X, for example. At what point do you think that individual, or collectively speaking, this country, we as citizens will finally say, hey, stop. I'm tired of giving you my money. Why haven't we gotten to that point? Can one of you explain it to me? Misty, you try first.
Well, I think, honestly, we are getting to that point. And I think that there's been it's an accumulation of events, I think, over the course of many years. But I think in recent times, I think the disaster in Maui was a big wake-up call for a lot of people. The city of Lahaina was in ashes, and the United States government offered to send them $700 per household, not per person, per household. Meanwhile, we're sending billions of dollars to one of the most corrupt countries on Earth, to Vladimir Zelensky, to launch this proxy war against Russia, an unwinnable proxy war. And I think that a lot of people are now starting to question these decisions and question where this money is being sent. Now, are we there yet fully? Of course not. And is it going to take some time for people to awaken to this reality? Probably. But I think that honestly, there are a lot of people that are starting to get to that point.
But starting to get there and being there are two different things. How do they keep us from getting there? I'm just finish that thought out, if you could, Misty, before I go to Steve. How do they keep us from getting to that point? How do they keep the blinders on us?
Well, an incredible amount of propaganda. I think the United States is easily one of, if not the most propagandized country on Earth. And I think that there's a lot of effort, time, money, and resources put into lying to the American public, manipulating the American public. And they've done a very good job of it. Even with the situation in Ukraine, they had a lot of people convinced that this was a good idea, something that we needed to do. And we've seen support for that wane over time. Unfortunately, I wish it was something that would hold and that people would not kind of lose focus on these types of things. They often do. The next time a war comes around, they will be easily persuaded to support that one as well, unfortunately. But I do think that over time, we are starting to see more and more people kind of snap out of that delusion.
Pick up on this, Steve. Go ahead.
I think she's exactly right. It's the propaganda and that American people are not paying attention. You know, if you look at a poll and you ask voters. Should we spend federal dollars on X, Y, or Z? There'll be overwhelming support because emotionally that sounds good. If you ask them, should we spend tax dollars on that? They overwhelmingly oppose it because there's somehow this disconnect between tax dollars and federal funds. There are no federal funds. There are only our funds. And I've long believed, Rick, if we would just move Election Day to April 16th, the day after Tax Day, maybe we would have a revolt in this country on how our money's being spent. Instead, they put it about as far away as they can from Tax Day, putting it sometime in November, so maybe people forget too easily.
All right, let's go to another story now. This is making international news, the story of an internationally famous American musician who you probably know, which is why I want to catch you up on what is going on with Sean Combs, who you likely know as P. Diddy. Look at these federal agents raiding his homes in Los Angeles and Miami. It appears that they're looking for information about a sex trafficking ring. Were led there by one of Combs' ex-girlfriends who contacted the police, accusing him of sex trafficking himself. Preliminary reports seem to suggest that Combs was doing something, according to some alleged reports, similar to what Jeffrey Epstein was doing, with suggestions that he was also attracting young women to his homes, as well as rich and or famous people. Imagine that. Police have also seized Combs' phones already, as well as some other items on his property. And it appears that they're now following up on bombshell complaints from several women who have charged that Sean Combs subjected them to vicious beatings and sex trafficking and rape. In one 35-page filing, one of the women says that Combs punched and kicked and stomped on her and forced her to have drug-fueled intercourse with other men during arrangements he dubbed freak-offs. Wow. Misty, I know you're probably choking it with all of this, so I'll let Steve give it a first shot. Where did this come from? I mean, and what does it say? I don't even know where to go, Steve, so I'll just give you the mic, my friend.
Well, first of all, I just think all the people who benefited from the freak-offs and the alleged sex trafficking, they should sleep easy and rest well at night, because based upon the Epstein follow-up, nobody's going to be prosecuted. Nobody's going to be investigated. P. Diddy might get in trouble, but all those who were participating and benefiting from it, we haven't seen the first raid, the first prosecution on anybody who were on the Epstein list. That, to me, is more disgusting than anything and everything Epstein did. It's our government covering it up. You're going to see the same thing with P. Diddy.
You think so? You think the people who are involved, if they are actually wealthy and rich, or probably wealthy and famous and have and are influential, they'll get lawyers and we won't be able to touch them once again, as seemed to be the case with Epstein, Misty?
And Weinstein.
Yeah, 100%.
How many got prosecuted after Weinstein?
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. Yes, I was going to address that as well. And listen, this is a long-standing open secret in Hollywood. I consider the music industry to be very entrenched in the Hollywood scene. And we know that this has taken place. There's been numerous documentaries. In fact, one called An Open Secret. There was the one just recently called Quiet on Set, where this happens on a regular basis. I mean, this is not a new thing. And I think that this, in my opinion, Diddy is being used as kind of a fall guy here. And it's going to be used as a distraction to prevent anybody else from seeing any accountability.
So both of you are telling me, pardon my innocence here, that this kind of crap is really prevalent, where it's not an isolated incident, that when people get so filthy rich that they don't know what the hell to do with their money, and or famous, and they get giant mansions, they use them for this kinds of things, and it won't be the first, and we shouldn't be shocked. Is that what you're saying?
Yes. Yeah.
Well, and it looks like P. Diddy may have been following the Epstein playbook of, was he videotaping? Mm. Was he getting blackmail information on the rich and the powerful, using it for economic benefit or other benefit? I mean, we've seen the blueprint that Epstein laid out. How many others are following that? You know, P. Diddy's alleged to be doing it. How many others?
Yeah, and by the way, we ought to be very careful. Has not been charged. He's being investigated. When your home gets raided and they're talking about sex trafficking, obviously we have to pay attention to a story like this. But there is a possibility that this is nothing but a lot of his former girlfriends who are saying these horrible things, and many of them are suing him. I mean, should we give that some thought here as well, Misty? To
be
fair.
I mean, I think that it's To be fair, maybe, but I think that it's more than that. It's more than just some former ex-girlfriends, because listen, we do have to be very careful when it involves a former partner of any kind. You can have, you know, the kind of vindictiveness that comes along with a bad breakup or things like that. Not saying that this is what it is, but you do have to just be kind of aware of that and skeptical. But it's not just that. This has been a long-standing rumor for a very long time in Hollywood. The Justin Biebers and Usher, wow. There's been these kind of rumblings for some time around Diddy. So I think it's more than just some, you know, some angry ex-girlfriends.
Well, you know, I spend most of my time following, you know, politics and geopolitics and that kind of stuff. And I don't know a lot about this, but the more I hear about it, the more I hear that people are saying it's a lot more prevalent than we might think. And maybe this is the time for somebody to go in there and take a good hard look at what happens in this Hollywoodish kind of environment. Steve, I'll give you the last word, 30 seconds.
I'm just glad I have always treated my exes very, very well.
Nobody's accusing you, Steve. No one's accusing you. Oh, said like a true Irish dude. Thank you, my friend. We appreciate your time, Misty, you too. We'll be looking forward to having you again very soon. Before I go, I do want to remind you of our mission. It's simple, really. We try to de-silo the world, try to stop living in little boxes where people only agree with each other. Truths don't live in boxes. We try to share the information as it comes in with you and create conversations. I'm Rick Sanchez. I'll be looking for you again right here, where we hope to provide a direct impact.